Really nice to see all of you this evening, tonight, in order that we might enjoy the precious Word of God, the awesome Word of God, which we freely have in our hands. It's an awesome gift that we have, and the knowledge that we have of it is given to us by the Lord through the Holy Spirit is remarkable. Can everybody hear me? All right. Seems like I'm coming across. Seems like I'm coming across pretty good. Great. Like to open this evening always with a word of prayer. No doubt, it is very appropriate. Our dear Heavenly Father, through Your Son, the Creator of the world, the Head of the Church, the All Things, the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, we pray that Your blessing would be upon the reading of Your precious Word this evening, that we might glean from it, and that the Holy Spirit within us might touch each of us individually, so that we might have a further knowledge of You, as this is pleasing unto You. We know that we should be increasing in knowledge of You. That's according to Your Word. We should be constantly increasing in knowledge and understanding what our dear Heavenly Father's will is, that is what You would have for us. And so we pray for your guidance upon the reading tonight, which would be in Romans, an Acts period book, Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 13. We pray that even though it is not specifically to us, but that the understanding of Your Word set forth here is for us. There's principles here that we can glean from through the Holy Spirit. And we pray for Your blessing upon this reading tonight, sincerely and humbly, in the name of our Lord and Savior. For He is all, Christ Jesus, our Lord and Head. Amen. So, good evening, and thus saith the Lord. I love this passage, so I like to read this every so often, opening up some scriptures. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. And this is just really awesome. But let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I, which exercises loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord, Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. And I pray for all of us, you know, I pray for all the members of the Church of Jesus Christ body, that we would fulfill His will 100%, and that each of us would have all of the blessings and all of the prizes that are possible for us. And my mind says, why not? And so, I do sincerely pray that, not that I want to be anything, but that is what I pray for all of you, because I love you, and I believe the Lord wants me to do that. And so, I want to know Him, and I want to understand Him more and more. Sometimes that isn't always the easy road, it seems, but you know, He has His ways with each of us. So let's turn to Romans 14, and I'm going to call this Romans 14 verses 1 through Romans 15 verse 7, part 2 of the study of this section of scriptures. We might end up doing it in 3 parts, maybe 4, because there's more information here than what meets the eye. It seems as though that this is kind of a practical section. We know that Romans was written during the Acts period, probably the last book written during the Acts period. That's very important. And we know that it contains tremendous truth. We know that Israel was primary during the Acts period. There's no doubt about that. We know that for the most part, Israel rejected the Lord. Unfortunately, but that was to be in the plan of the ages. And we do know that there were believers, though, during the book of Acts, that believed in the righteousness through the blood of Christ. We know that. We know that there were believing Jews, and we know that there were believing Gentiles that were grafted in. It's also a possibility that believing Jews, you know, it's interesting in my mind to study the state of the nation of Israel. Came on the scene. He was born in 4 BC, possibly according to the calendars that we have, and he died in AD 29. You know, my mind says, what was the state of Israel that the Lord stepped in? Well, my wife and I read Malachi the other night, which was a book that was written in 374 BC, so that was roughly 370 years before the Lord was born. And they were in bad shape. They were in tough shape. They were their sacrifices. They were sacrificing diseased animals, unfit animals to the Lord. They really didn't understand the importance of sacrificing anymore. The Lord took them to task again in that book. I haven't read, let's just say, any books between AD 370, or BC, pardon me, 374, and the birth of Christ. According to the, from what I understand, Chronicles is actually the last book written in the Hebrew Old Testament, and maybe I'll get to that. I'm not sure what that would tell me about their state. But, you know, and then we have the Lord addressing the Pharisees and what they were like, and, you know, we're not sure if they even understood the law of Moses anymore, as far as I know. They might have created their own law. And the Lord really, he had very, very harsh words, no doubt, when it came to the Pharisees. They were a generation of vipers, as he said. Their father, the devil, which he said to some of them. Now, I'm not saying that all these men were rotten, despicable men, but for the most part, I think that what really irked the Lord is that they even walked away from correct sacrifices, and they became very involved in the ways of the world, and in money, and in life in the flesh, and what they were like, and he stepped into that, and they didn't even understand that he was their Messiah. So the state that they were in was really a tough and one that wasn't very at all pleasing to the God Almighty. I think I can say that. I think I can say that according to the Scripture. So. We have a lot of religiosity that was going on with the Pharisees, and I believe that believing Jews had a problem with some of these religious observances and these eatings of meats and drinkings and observance of days, which was tough for them to put aside. I think that we find that. I think that we find that truth in Scriptures, but nevertheless, they did understand the righteousness through the blood of Christ. We find that the apostles even didn't understand the Lord many times. They didn't understand what he was talking about when he was describing the temple of his body. Peter rejected him. They were afraid for their lives. Many things were going on here, and I believe that some of the situation is borne out in Romans 14 here, where we have the judgment of a stronger brother against and sister against a weaker brother and sister, and we have the eating of meat here and the eating of herbs here, which is interesting, and then the judgment of Sodom against the weaker. And God's principle applied to what was going on here, which which I believe that we can glean from, because there's a couple of godly principles that are enforced during in fact Romans 14 here. One of them is I'll just go ahead of myself and said that and say that that none of us, whether we are weak or strong, has the right to exercise dominion over the faith of another believer. We personally do not have the right to have dominance or dominion over the faith of another brother or sister. That's one of the principles borne out here. And furthermore, for a believer to judge his brother or sister that is in Christ is usurping actually the authority of the Lord. So certainly these are two tremendous godly principles that do pass over into our dispensation. We have no right to judge a brother or sister in Christ. That's up to the Lord. And who are we anyway? I can say this as a matter of fact. There are times where I personally am extremely strong in the faith as I walk around. And then there are times where I am extremely weak in the faith. And usually I can admit that. I have no problem admitting that, for I think that I believe that that would be advantageous for other people to hear that believe in the Lord, that if I'm a teacher, I get weak in the faith, especially when I'm trying, especially when I go through the tornadoes of life. I feel weak in the faith, and I particularly in my mind and heart at those points, I reach out to brothers and sisters to uphold me. And I would say this, that if I'm at a point where I'm weak in the faith, I have a brother or sister that judges me and comes down on me, that's going to cut to the quick. That's going to cut to my heart, and that's going to be very destructive. So I think that the godly principles that are born forth here in Romans 14 are very important. That maybe at times I don't know anybody that's extremely totally 100% power in the faith as they walk along. I don't think I've met anybody yet, and if they appear to be so, maybe they just don't have the fortitude to admit that that they are weak in the faith at times, or maybe they haven't been through the fire enough. But needless to say, those are a couple of really tremendous principles that are borne out here in Romans 14. So let's read Romans 14, verses 1 through 13. And it states, "Him that is weak in the faith receive, but not to doubtful disputations." And we're going to look a little bit more into that. "For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs." And that's a very interesting statement. What's going on here with one that eats all things and one that eats herbs? What is there a meaning there? Yes, I believe there's a meaning there, especially with faith, strength, and with herbs. By the way, if you take a look at the word herbs and you study it throughout the scriptures, which we'll look into a little bit tonight, you're going to find some interesting truth surrounding the eating of herbs by the nation of Israel. "Let not him," in verse 3 of Romans 14, "let not him eat, despise him that eats not. And let not him that eats not judge him that eats. For God has received him." And that's very important. We're going to look at the receiving. We're going to look at the receiving of God. We're going to be looking at the receiving of each other. "Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands, or he falls. Yes, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded, and woman, in their own minds. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord. And he that regards not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not to the Lord, he eats not, and gives God thanks." That's interesting. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Very interesting. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And I think that this is pointing to the weak believer, and it's pointing to the strong believer, and that's, the weak in faith, the strong in faith. Apparently that is what's happening here. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I'm not going to go into the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. That's a whole big study unto itself, and it would take... that's a whole big study unto itself. I'm sort of going to possibly leave that alone. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account to himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but just judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So what's happening here is that one who's strong in the faith, apparently he eats all things unto the Lord, and one that's weak in the faith eats herbs. And the one that's strong in the faith, the faith in Christ, is judging his weaker brother here in the faith. But the Lord's answer to that is that whatever you eat, you don't put a stumbling block in the way of your brother or sister. And that's, that's the point that the Lord is trying to get across, that as God receives believers, as God receives brothers and sisters, we receive brothers and sisters, not as what he calls doubtful disputations. And we're going to look into that again, what a doubtful disputation is, because there are reasonings, all right? There are reasonings of the mind, and there are reasonings of the mind according to the flesh, and there are reasonings of the mind according to the scriptures, by the way. And we're gonna look into a little bit of that. Now, let's look at, again, we went over this a bit. The word receive here is the Greek form proslambano. And what proslambano means is to receive unto oneself personally. So we have God receiving believers, by the way, in Romans 14:3. And see, how has God received you? Well, I do know this. I do know that we were in the slave market of sin. That's where we were. Ephesians 1 bears this out, that the Lord Jesus Christ came and he shed his blood to pay the price to buy us out of the slave market of sin. He paid the price and he bought us with a price from that market of slavery. And so, and then received us unto himself. So the Godhead has received those formerly estranged from the Godhead and have united those believers unto themselves, that is the Godhead, through the work of the Son and the witness of the Word of God. So when we understand that Almighty God came in the flesh and he paid the price to buy us out of that slave, this blood, this isn't a small matter. And so when the Apostle Paul makes that clear in Romans 14:3, that God has received believers, this is to rock their world and say, hey, Almighty God has received them through the blood of Christ, and who are you to judge one that the Godhead has received through the blood of Christ, whether you consider them weak or not? And that's a point that we can definitely take to heart. So we know that this receiving, this proslambano, which God has received us, is to take along unto oneself. So God has received us unto himself to grant one's access to one's heart. That's what this praslambano is. So God has received us into his heart, and he's invited us into his home with kindness. That's what praslambano means. So if God has done this, if the Godhead has done this through the Lord Jesus Christ, who are we to judge a brother or sister? And who are we And who are we not to receive brothers and sisters in like manner? So we're going to look at this receiving of God. Let's look at Romans 5. We're going to look at Romans 5, Romans 8, Acts 18, and Colossians 2. Now, I don't know how far I'm going to get, but this is all very important. So this is what is contained in Romans 14, the receiving of God to believers, whether weak or strong, and the Apostle Paul saying, hey, you're judging them according to your fleshly mind. And there is a discernment. There is a fleshly mind, and there is a mind of the Spirit. We can walk in the flesh, we can walk in the Spirit. And we're going to point that out. But let's look at this receiving. Romans 5, 8 through 11. Romans 5, 8 through 11. This is praslambano again. And hope makes not ashamed, because oh, I'm sorry. 5:8. But God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, and look at the much mores in the scriptures, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received, we have praslambanoed the atonement. And so God has received us in the manner that I have set forth in this form praslambano. He has received us through the atonement of the blood of his Son. So who are we to judge? Look at how God Almighty has received you and I. Romans 8, 14 through 16. Another occurrence of praslambano, this receiving. Romans 8, 14 through 16. And it reads, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received, we have not praslambano, the spirit of bondage again to fear. Remember, we were saved out of that slave market of sin, out of that bondage in the slave market by the blood of Christ. But ye have received praslambano, spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the point of it is look at how God is receiving us. Or at least, let's say, an example in Romans is look at how God has received the believer, whether Jew or Gentile, in the book of Romans. That's the point. Look at how Almighty God has received the believer in the blood of Christ. And then, no doubt, I mean, we can pass over into our calling, which I will a little bit, and look at a form of this receiving. Now, last time we looked at Acts 18. Now, this is a great example because here was Priscilla and Aquila that were correcting a zealous person, a believer, Apollos, in the scriptures, and rather, and they knew more about the word than he did, Acts 18, 24 through 28. But rather than looking down upon him and judging him according to their so-called superior knowledge, they lambanoed Apollos, pardon me, by this receiving in the godly fashion, of the fashion of God. And we'll look at that in Acts 18. Acts 18, 24 through 28. A very excellent example of how believers, especially ones that may know more truth, are to receive ones that may not understand certain things. Because, you know, we can all look back. I can look back back in 1977 when my first scriptures was a Schofield Bible. And, you know, I believed in Christ because I knew he was the correct. It was correct, but did I know anything about right division? Did I know anything about the Acts period, the mystery, even the Gospel of John? No. But over the next couple of years, the Lord used certain people tremendously in my life. And so so we should take this receiving of brethren very seriously. Let's look at Acts 18. Verses 24 through 28. And after certain date, Acts 18, 24 through 28. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligence of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John the Baptist. Okay, but this man was, his heart was correct in the Lord. That's what's important. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogues, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And it goes on to say, and when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, whom when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Now apparently what happened is because Priscilla and Aquila were with spirit, and they understood the receiving of this one in a godly fashion, they instructed him, and he became more powerful in the Word of God. And I think that's what verse 28 bears out. And he, with his more perfect knowledge, went out, and he was even more bold and convincing in the Lord. So it's very, very important how we handle, how we receive each other in the Lord. And let's turn to Colossians 2, 1 through 6. Moving over to our calling. Colossians 2, I believe that this was Bob's, part of this was Bob's theme. That conference was awesome. I was thoroughly blessed to be a part of the TFT conference. That was, that whole conference was blessed by the Lord, there's no doubt about that. Colossians 2, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Now, I want you to, I would enjoy if you would understand how the Lord is talking to us, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I say this, any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am yet am I with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So ye walk in him. So we have proslambano at work in our calling, as we have received the Lord Christ Jesus, as we have proslambano, our calling. So when we received our calling and we understood our calling, we were correct in the Lord as how we were receiving the truth. We were at that point correct as to how we were receiving the Godhead and what Almighty God was teaching us through the Holy Spirit, through the work of the Son, and how we understood He was receiving us. And so, I don't know what other human words to say about that, but we can be correct in receiving the knowledge of God. And this receiving has to do with how we are walking in the faith. Now, we last time looked at these doubtful disputations, and we looked at the reasoning. We looked at reasoning. And I would have to say to you that in the New Testament, there are two Greek forms that discuss reasoning. One of them is negative, and it's we looked at it a little bit last time. It's dialogismas. Dialogismas, and it's used 14 times in the New Testament, and it's usually negative. And then the other one is dialegomai, and it's the reasoning with which the Apostle Paul in Acts 17, 18, 19, and 24 reasoned out of the Scriptures. So Paul dialegomai out of the Scriptures in Acts 17, 18, 19, and 24. And the judgment, the disputations of those who felt they had a right to judge the weaker believer in Romans 14 was the dialogismas. And we find these reasonings, these dialogismas of the flesh. It, dialogismas means the thinking of humans deliberately inward within themselves. The reasoning of those who think they are wise, Romans 1. The judge of those who have evil thoughts, who follow reprehensible principles, James 2. The intellectual rebellion of the mind against God, 2 Timothy 3. Now, before we go to, I'm going to look at Romans 1, I'm going to look at Matthew 15 to make a point of dialogismas, the negative reasonings which are found in Romans 14, which Paul was addressing these so-called stronger believers. The dialogismas is the negative reasoning of the human flesh. And like I said before, the dialegomai is the reasoning out of the Scriptures, which Paul used, which hopefully we'll get to. But just to prove to you that it's true. I want to point this out. By reasoning with the human mind, absolutely no human being can obtain the truths of God. Did you know that? Absolutely no human being through their brain can understand the truths of God. God's truth is beyond the powers of the human intellect to grasp. That is a fact. So, how do we know that? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2. I can prove it to you. So, the intellectuals of the world will never know the wisdom of God. Never, 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 and never. It doesn't matter how many PhDs or MSs or BSs or MAs or blah, blah, blah they have. They will never understand the wisdom of God. Never. And 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 16 proves that. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 16. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Incredible. This is incredible. The human mind is corrupt because of sin. Men and women call darkness light, and light darkness. Men and women call darkness light, and light darkness. Men and women, humanly speaking, love darkness. That's a fact. But when men and women believe the word of God, they are given the new man, a renewed mind, a different mind. Men and women then can think as God intended them to think. Even the so-called simplest people, so-called, of the world can understand the ways and the will of Almighty God. That is a fact. So it doesn't matter how simple you appear to be to the intellectual. You can understand the ways and will of Almighty God. And they cannot if they are steadfast in their own pride and in their own wisdom of their own polluted and sin-sick minds. And this is what the Apostle Paul is in Romans 14. Because the reasonings of these people were according to the flesh and not according to how they should receive their brethren as God does. And see, we can do the same. We can be just as guilty as the ones in Romans 14 are or were. And so, we should never think that we are so high and mighty that we are above any of the brethren. And that's a matter of fact. Turn to Romans 8. This is Romans 8 and John 3. I'm going to read a little bit more of the proof of the reasonings of the human mind and the reasoning of the mind created by God. Placed in us, because it's a matter of fact that we would know nothing of him without him. And we can stray away from that. We can stray away from that and go our own way and get beat up pretty good in the world, and then our minds, our fleshly minds, will eventually let us down. We'll get into some turmoil, and then we'll wonder what's going on. I've done it. I walk away from the scriptures in my mind too much. thinking I have the strength within myself to go out there and deal with the wicked world of darkness, get beat up, and wonder, what happened? What's the Lord doing to me? He's not doing anything to me. I am. That's the point. And so, we know nothing of the Lord except that we stick close to His Word. And, by the way, brethren, that's where He wants you. And so, that's a very very safe place to be. But our flesh thinks it's great, and we go out and we try it by ourselves. At least I can speak for myself, in the sense that I think that I have my own power, and that's dangerous stuff. Especially in these days, and especially as being a member of the Church of Christ's body. That's dangerous. Romans 8, 5 through 10. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And this was six chapters before Romans 14, by the way. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the intellectual mind, the PhD mind without the Lord is enmity against God. It's at variance against God. It's battling against the knowledge of God because it is sin sick. Sin sick. I don't care how happy they appear to be, how much they laugh, how much they drink, how much they have, how much they own. They are sin sick. And they are destined for the box. That's it. That's the facts. And, as we move through this life, it's happening quick. I'm 57. I knew the mystery when I was 19. I'm 57 now, and that happened mighty, mighty quick. Mighty quick. I might have 20 years. That's going to go like a flash, and then I'm in the box. And, we've seen people pass like lightning. Here, today, gone tomorrow. And so, let us not be fools. Because if we're fools, we're the biggest fools. If I'm a fool with what I've been given in the Lord, I'm going to say this, I'm the biggest fool that ever lived. Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness through the blood of Christ, I'll add. And your mind is where it's supposed to be. Your mind is actually where God originally intended your mind to be. And I believe this. I believe that Adam and Eve had a mind that was originally intended where God wanted it to be. And when they were tempted and they fell into the dark, dark death state of sin, it was really terrible. Really terrible. And so their human mind could not understand the ways of God anymore because it was sick. But we can be brought out of that sin-sick mind and have a mind the way God intends it. Awesome. Awesome stuff. And that's what's being brought out here in Romans 14. John 3, 16 through 21. And I don't know how far. I'm not getting even through part 2 again. But I'm going to try to get through this and get at least through a couple of points where this dialegomai, the way that the Apostle Paul received believers through his new mind, that was guided by the scriptures in Acts. So let's look at John 3, 16 through 21. This reinforces the fact of the human mind and the mind that God requires for the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have age-abiding life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men and women love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. Now, why would they love darkness rather than the light? Because they're sick in the head. That's why. They're sick in the head because of sin and cannot understand the pure ways of God. That's why. For everyone that does evil hates the light. Why? Because their mind is sick. Neither come they to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Why is that? Because sick minds like sick things. That's why. And they don't want their sick things to be reproved by the light of God. Otherwise, they would have to change their sickness. And they like it. Kind of sick, isn't it? But he that does truth comes to the light. We've come to the light. And it's not by anything that we've done, it's by everything that he's done. Because he's made our minds correct by the light. That his deeds may be made manifest and they are wrought in God. We are not afraid of the light. We are not afraid of the light anymore. We can stand in the light of God. Our calling is in the light, you know? And so, you know, we might stumble. We're not perfect. We still have this rotten, stinking flesh, and we might stumble, but we know it. We know it, and we feel it, that sin might abound, Paul says, that it might be stinking, rotting sin. And that's the way I feel when I trip up. It's stinking, rotten, and I feel it to my core. And that's great. I'm glad. I don't like it anymore because I don't want to live in a rotten brain anymore. I don't want to be sick anymore. All right. Now let's look at the way that the Apostle Paul dealt with those out of the reasonings wrought through the Scriptures, the dialegomai. To have discourse, dialegomai is not dialogismos, which has to do with, like, Romans 1. I'm not going to read that. Romans 1 and Matthew 5, I'll come back to that in part 3. But the dialogismos is what brought on Romans 1, by the way, and we know what happened there. And the dialegomai, which is to have discourse or converse with one another, drawing truths from the Scriptures to reason with. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He dialegomai. He did not dialogismos. All right? And so, in Acts 17, we read how the Apostle Paul, through his renewed mind, his correct mind, reasoned from the Scriptures. He did not reason from disputations of a fleshly mind as those in Romans 14 did, judging their brethren. Okay? So this is Paul understanding this. He understood what reasoning through the Scriptures was. He understood what the sickness of a human mind can produce. Alright, so he's confronting these believers, 14, with these truths. Alright, so Acts 17, 1 through 5, and Acts 17, 10 through 17. And this is how the Apostle Paul reasoned out of a correct mind, using dialegomai, which was reasoning from the Scriptures. And how could he reason from the Scriptures? Well, certainly he couldn't reason from the Scriptures with a human mind, because the human mind is at enmity with God. It all makes perfect sense, and it's perfect truth. And we have dia legomai. We have the reasoning from the Scriptures in the new mind, in the new man. Yeah, that's what we have. That's why we can excel in the purity of it. And we can step back and we can understand the awesome purity of it. I do. I don't have enough of it, and I pray for more of it, because I'm getting beat up too much. And when I get beat up too much, I feel filthy. Not that I'm going out and doing dastardly things, but I walk around and I yearn for the purity of the Holy Spirit working in my heart and mind through the Scriptures. It's a purity that's beautiful. It is. It's a fact. It's a reality. And that's what the Apostle Paul, Acts 17, 1 through 5. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, pardon me, and Paul, as his manners was, went unto them, and three Sabbath day reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. He dialegomai with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So he dialegomai out of the Scriptures, like we do, or like we should. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, because they were sick in their minds, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And so we have an attack of the evil one through the mind of the flesh, immediately attacking the reasoning through the spirit held mind in the Apostle Paul, through the reasoning of the Scriptures. Immediately Satan jumps in there and attacks. That's what he does. He does that with us all the time. Subtle ways, strategies. He's brilliant in it. Not to be taken lightly. Acts 17, 10 through 17. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They received the Lord as the Lord received them, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so, which we should be doing, filling our minds with the Scriptures. Hey, it's a reality. I know, because I don't do it, and I get beat up. I still think that around willy-nilly, and that I don't need the power of the Scriptures for a number of days. I'm crazy. Because what happens is my brain starts thinking after my flesh, and I get in trouble. And then I wonder, what happened? What are you doing to me, Lord? He's not doing anything. I'm doing it. You know, and that's what I have to realize. You get far enough away from the strength of the Lord, and it could be dangerous these days. And it goes on to say in verse 13 of Acts 17, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode still there. And they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens and received a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, and they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him, and when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, therefore he disputed in the synagogues and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met him. And what the word disputed there is that he dialegomied with them. He discussed and reasoned with them with the mind of the Spirit out of the Holy Scriptures. He did not dialogisomai out of his fleshly mind, which is sick. He dialegomied out of the mind of Christ. And that's the principle here. Now, just one more, Acts 18, 1 through 4. And then I can come back to this in part 3. But this is the principle, and I guess if we take this, Acts 17 and Acts 18, and Acts 19, probably, if I can guess, are written before the book of Romans. If I can say that, maybe I'm incorrect. But what I'm putting forth is that Paul understood the reasonings of the mind of Christ and the reasonings of the human mind. And so he was definitely well prepared to correct those that functioned on reasonings of the human mind. Acts 18, 1 through 4. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greek. He dialegomied with them out of the Scriptures with the mind of Christ. And I think that was the point there. And so what I will do is, back to this, because I can put forth a few more examples on the reasonings from the mind of Christ that were given. What occurs with the reasonings of the human mind in Romans 1, Matthew 15, and 2 Timothy 3, and go on from there, because we have to then again finish out this section into Romans 15:7. But I will say this, that the eating of herbs, all right, I said this earlier, the eating of herbs goes back to Exodus 12. It goes back to Isaiah 18. And it goes to Hebrews 6. And the eating of herbs was no light thing for the Jews, because it reminded them of something. It reminded them of the Passover. That's what it did. So, the eating of herbs had to do with belief in the redemption of God, from God. And so, I think the eating of herbs here in Romans 14 wasn't a light thing. It's more than just eating a chunk of lettuce or whatever. And so I just wanted to say that, to back that up, and then I'm going to go back to that in part 3. So I thank you for being with me tonight. It's a privilege to be here with you folks, and it actually is. I really believe that. Looking at all of you, I love you all, and Diane, love you all. I've never had better friends, because I'm united in Christ with you folks, and I just pray that I'm an example that would be upholding to all of you. And so, thanks again, and back to this in a number of weeks. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this period of time and these blessed truths. that you have in your awesome word. And we pray thanking you that it's not our mind, it's not our sick fleshly mind that can understand anything of you, but it's through the redemptive work of your Son. The Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, our head, the creator of all things, what he's done, what he's come and done, and what these spiritually discerned scriptures can do for a human being. A human being that doesn't have to be intellectually powerful, can understand your ways. The simplest of people, the youngest of people, can understand your ways through your word. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that you've done for us and you've given to us through your Son and your powerful, powerful, powerful word. This we thank you for, and we will praise you for eternity. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.